When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I should just ask Jacob Morley. He knows more than I do anyhow. Follow Jacob Morley on Twitter at Jacob Morley 24/7 Sports. Packer Report, contributor to the Pack-A-Day podcast as well. Hear that. Pack-A-Day Radio, weekday mornings, 8 to 9 here on The Fan with Andy Herman. Jacob, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Sparky.
I've missed you. It's been too long, Jacob Morley.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute, man.
Let's talk about this Packers offense. You used some offensive stats earlier today from the as they call it, the dope sheet. I'm not sure who came up with that, but either way, that's what the Packers send out from their media relations every week. And Jacob Morley is the one person that really goes through it and puts out a lot of great stuff. And really impressive stuff as far as offensive numbers go for this Packers team here as of late when we talk about Jordan Love and so forth. Total yards per game, 6th in the league. Yards per play, 3rd. Rushing yards per game, 5th. Rushing yards per play, 7th. Passing yards per play, 3rd. Sacks allowed per pass attempt, 3rd. Points per game, 7th. Sacks allowed in general, 2nd. I mean, those are all really, really good numbers for this offense. I brought you on because I want to know, how do you get them better?
How do you get better from being really good?
Yep. I think that's the toughest part, right? Going from really good to being great, or great to being perfect, those are the hardest parts.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the story of this season. It's either going to be what ends their season, or it's going to be, you know, what propels them to standing on the podium at the end. And I think they're talented enough to do that. I think you see it. I mean, you just listed off all the numbers. They're top 10 in a variety of categories. And you still watch this team and just think, they're not clicking, you know, and that's fair. And a lot of this stuff is like the explosives. Like, they'll go through, you know, red hot streaks where, man, they just scored on 4 possessions back to back to back to back. And then they'll go, oh, Jordan Love didn't complete a pass in the 3rd quarter. You know, so it's just tough with this team. I think what you need to get better is just that consistency piece. And I think what a lot of people are, you know, and this was a main talking point last year with this group, is how young they were. And here we are, you know, they're a really, really talented team. I think they're one of the best, you know, 5 to 6 teams in the NFL that could make a run. But they're still a really young team. You know, all these guys came back. They played a lot of football. They played a lot of football together even. But still, when you're 23, 24 years old out there in the NFL, and the majority of their guys are, there's still a lot. They're wading their way through and trying to figure out. And you just hope that since the bye week, you know, Love has played really well since the bye week. And you just hope that he starts to kind of carry that passing offense. Not that it really needs to be carried, because it's already very good. But you hope his ascension can kind of bring everyone else with him. And we saw what Jordan Love can look like when he gets hot. And that is, I mean, and I'm not just saying this, Sparky. When he gets hot, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He has that type of potential. He played that way down the stretch last year. I think we're seeing him trend in that direction again this year. And that's really the one piece for this offense, especially, is how good can Jordan Love be? Because Josh Jacobs is going to bring it every single week. I think he's shown us that. But can Jordan Love be the guy under center that when you need 60 yards in, you know, 54 seconds to go down and get a touchdown, can he be the guy to have ice in his veins, to be the nails, to all that stuff, and lift all those receivers up to be able to kind of do that stuff?
Jacob Morley, my answer to your how good can Jordan Love question is how good are these wide receivers? How good can these wide receivers be? Are drops attributable to young and youth, young age and being youthful, and that eventually will fix itself as they get more experience in the league? Is it a talent issue? Because that really by itself is hurting offensive numbers by the amount of drops they have.
Sure. You know, and it's funny, a lot of people get on Christian Watson's case because, you know, the first play of his career was a big-time drop, all that stuff. He had the big drop this year. He's got one drop this season.
Yep.
It's not really on him. You know, Jaden Reed's got nine. And it just seems like a lot of them are in big moments, too. You know, it's third and five, you know, in breaking route, Romeo Doubs is there, but, oh, it's a drop. Drive over. You know, so, and you're right. So it's going to be those guys, too, just kind of getting that taken care of. And in these clutch moments, can they make the catch, which is something they should be able to do because they are NFL receivers. But they do drop balls at times. Everyone does. But they need to definitely get that better. I think you look at receivers in general, and it's not uncommon for guys to kind of go through this their first couple of years. I mean, you look at, you know, Jordy Nelson, the first 3 years of his career, really till that Super Bowl, people, and heck, Sparky, if you would have caught every pass in that Super Bowl, you'd almost be saying he should have been the MVP. And he had a huge game, you know, so it's these guys, they go through this stuff. And I think drops are kind of like sacks and turnovers to me a little bit, where they can come in bunches, and you see it with guys like Wicks this year, who looks like now, you know, he's playing with more confidence right now. He's plucking that ball out of the air, and you can tell with the receivers when they're confident and when they are not. And I'll use Wicks as an example. I think anybody that's watched the games, you can tell when he's not confident catching the ball. You know, he's letting it get, you know, inside his, but you know, he's letting it get to his chest. He's letting it kind of get to his inside of his catch radius that you don't really want him to be catching the ball there. And then when he's confident, like any of these guys, he's, you know, he's extended, he's plucking the ball, he's tucking it, and it's not even, you know, it looks like breathing to him. But I think with all these guys, like, you're 100% right. If they don't catch the ball, you know, how many times has something like that happened? Where another example, and I think this was the Tampa Bay NFC Championship game, where it was some just ridiculous stat. Like, Davante Adams has one red zone drop in the last like 5 years, and it just so happened to be in that game. And so it's just like, when those moments arise, are they gonna rise with it, and are they gonna be able to make those catches and make those plays? Because it is not a talent issue. I think as far as talent goes, they've got 5-6 guys that, man, they're good. They're talented football players. They would be on any NFL football team. I think all 32 teams would make. And you just look at that and you're like, man, can it all come together? When can it come together?
Right. Talk with Jacob Morley, 24/7 Sports, Packer Report, and of course, a contributor to the Pack a Day podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Morley. You threw out something else earlier, talking about the 2022 draft class and offensive tackle pass blocking grades. And Zach Tom, second in that draft class. Rasheed Walker, third in that entire draft class. Walker, obviously, the only seventh rounder. And Zach Tom, the only fourth rounder. Only one first-round pick made the top five. Are the Packers set at the tackle position going forward, or should they still be looking for an upgrade for one or the other?
Man, I think Rasheed Walker is really good. I do. And I think Zach Tom is really good. And the fact is, we don't talk about, I tweeted this the other, we don't talk about this enough. Sean Ryan was also in that draft class. Three of their five starters right now are playing at an above average, you know, playing the position at an above average level. And they got them all in the same draft class, and they got them all round three or later. And for me, I just think with Rasheed Walker, if he would have been a second-round pick, people would be thrilled with how well he's playing. But I think when you're taken in the seventh round at like a premium position like that, it's kind of like the Brock Purdy case, where people are never really going to give him his due because he was a seventh round draft pick. And it takes a long time to get out of that stuff. And I think Rashid Walker, it goes through some of that too. I mean, pick 250 overall. I think a lot of people were surprised that he was there that late, but man, he just doesn't get beat that often. And you look across the NFL, we have been spoiled as, you know, people that follow the Packers with, you go from Chad Clifton to David Bakhtiari to, you know, Packer Hall of Famers, and maybe NFL Hall of Famer for Bach. But for Rashid, you know, is he ever going to be as good as David Bakhtiari, where it's just like you set him over there and he's just, you know, he's almost yawning as pass rushers are trying to get around him? I don't think so. But you look at the Kansas City Chiefs right now, what they would give to have someone playing like Rashid Walker on the left side protecting Pat Mahomes. Like, that is, you know, I live in Kansas City, and that's the big issue that everyone talks about is, you know, this team has only lost one game, but man, you know, the left tackle stinks. And it's just kind of like, well, why don't you just go draft them on day three like the Packers do and just keep turning them out?
Okay, well, that's fine. But then this points the finger back to Brian Gutekunst for screwing up this last draft in the first round. I was on social media begging them to move up in this draft. When Miami was on the clock, I was begging them to move up and take Mitchell or Arnold. I was fine with either corner. I would have been happy with. They don't. Mitchell ends up going to Philly. Looks pretty good to this point. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas, Jacksonville moves up. They take the wide receiver there. And then here come the damn Lions. They move up in front of the Packers, take Terry and Arnold. And the Packers end up with Jordan Morgan. And right now, there is no room at the inn for Jordan Morgan as we sit here today.
Not today. I don't know what's going to happen with Josh Myers in the future. I don't know if that's something that they slide Elton over. I don't know. But it's tough because, you know, I was there with you. I wanted Cooper DeJean. I can't lie.
I did not.
When that pick came around, that was my guy. I wanted him to take him. And they didn't. And they took Jordan Morgan. And I think Jordan Morgan's going to be a good football player. Like, don't get me wrong. I think he's got everything that they like. He hit all of their thresholds, checked a lot of boxes for them. But like what you just said, it's tough to – I don't think they thought Sean Ryan would be as good as he has been. And he's playing really good football right now for them. So it is tough where it's like, man, where is he going to play? Do you just shuffle Elton to center? I think Elton Jenkins would be a phenomenal center. But I don't know. That's probably a question for the offseason. Because I think when Jordan Morgan has played, he's actually looked pretty good. But kind of a lost rookie season for him. I think Daniel Jeremiah was talking about this the other day, or someone pointed this out, where you look at good football teams, and there's not a lot of good football teams that have a bad offensive line.
Right.
You might have a weak link here or there, but there are not a lot of good football teams that have a bad offensive line. In fact, I'd argue there aren't. So, you know, investing in that position, I will always get, I will always support. It's kind of like eating your vegetables. It's not the sexiest pick, but it is something you need to do. But hindsight, absolutely. Like I think it was when Mitchell was falling, you're kind of like, man, can he keep falling? Because they kind of need corners.
Sure.
I know they didn't think they did, but here we are. And that's kind of one of those things, and I hate to be the guy that's like, oh, the fans knew it, but the front office didn't. But sometimes the fans are right, you know, where it's like, man,
well, I didn't want him.
Look, T.J. Watt. I wish they would have drafted
sure.
a corner.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't want Cooper DeJean. Not at all. I had no interest in him one way or the other because, again, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but white corners in the NFL normally isn't a thing that works all that well that often. So for me, it was
awesome.
Like, if you want to try it at safety, fine, but I don't want him in the first round. You're right. He's played really well, so I would have been wrong on this one, clearly, but I'm being honest. I'm being forthright. I didn't want to do it at all. Now, I will say what I'm looking forward to is Packers and the NFL draft is in Green Bay this year. I'm very excited. I'll probably be a part of it in some way, some form. Having said that, you put out your great draft guide every year, so I can't wait to see it. I have Chad Ryder on, our NFL draft analyst from NFL.com, coming up at 4:20. I want to know what you think of Walker, the defensive tackle from Kentucky, the mass of humanity, because that is who I want in the first round as we sit here right now.
Well, it's interesting because I was just talking about this with like Ross Uglum and Jacob Westendorf in the group chat the other day, where you talk about these big D tackles and how they've kind of been phased out, where it's like, man, if you can't rush the passer, if you can't give me 8 to 10 sacks a year, I don't want you. And another example would be the Sweat kid out of Texas last year.
Loved him.
You know, and he, you know exactly what you're getting with this guy. And I just think running backs are back.
Oh,
and
Lord.
I think the running game is back. And I think you look at the way teams are playing, everybody runs heavy cover two. Nobody wants to get beat over the top. NFL teams are kind of starting to adapt where they say, okay, well, fine, we'll run the ball then. And you see the resurgence of Josh Jacobs, what Saquon's been able to do in Philadelphia. Derrick Henry just, I guess, is never going to be old, and he's just going to run for 1,000 yards until we're old. So it's just, I think some of this stuff is going to come back around, and I say that because I think we're going to get to a point where you can get some of these big D tackles like the Kentucky kid.
Dude, he's 6'6", like 350. And yep. If you've seen him, he can move a little bit. Like, he doesn't have his feet in cement.
And if he does, if he tests well, the Packers are probably going to have no shot at him. Because guys like that just don't grow on trees. And but the other guy that's interesting, too, is the Grant kid out of Michigan.
I like him, too.
Right now, that's kind of his range, but he's a big boy too. I think he's in the 330, 340 range and with a little bit of wiggle, and that's why they're going to go top 50 is because, you get these guys in there that like you can't move them, but maybe you can't give me 8 to 10 sacks, but can you give me 5 with 40 pressures?
Yep.
Man, that's super valuable. You look at like the Vita Veas of the world.
Oh,
that guy's getting paid a lot of money to do what he does and he's very good at it. And that defense is very good because of it. So I think some of this stuff, the NFL is always cyclical. I think the run game is going to be in vogue the next few years. And I think we're going to start seeing bigger defensive tackles. And I think we're going to start seeing some glass eaters at the linebacker position where you're not going to be able to draft a 220-pound linebacker and just let them sit out there. But we'll see. I think it's way too early to say even too. I've been doing some of the mock draft Monday stuff and it's just for fun. This stuff changes so much.
There's just not
now and then.
There's not a lot of corners right now in the first round. I do the same thing. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of corners. Mm-hmm. I would love a corner. I just don't know if there's one there for sure that you feel good about. Like if there were going to be 5 or 6 corners in the first round, I'd feel better. But I feel like there's going to be more like 3 or 4 maybe.
Yeah, it's like, obviously Will Johnson is really good for Michigan. Obviously, the Heisman Trophy front runner of Black Canada.
Travis Hunter.
Colorado. Yeah, Travis Hunter, he's a stud too if you want to play in that corner. But then outside of that, I think, corners 3 through 10, that remains to be seen. Who's gonna rise up? Who's going to be impressive? Who's going to go through the all-star game circuit and kind of be that guy that shows up? The East Carolina kid, Siobhan Revell, he's someone I think last Monday I picked him, for the Packers just because he was sitting there. And I haven't watched any of these guys that in depth yet, but I like him. But then someone told me he's going to be 25 years old as a rookie. I didn't know that. But that's the kind of stuff that, comes to light throughout this process. And, he's got a torn ACL right now too. So there's just so much research and so much information that we're going to need to, digest between now and April before we can, be mad that the Packers didn't pick who we wanted them to pick.
I just can't wait for your draft guide. I always look forward to it. Jacob Morley, 24/7 Sports, Packer Report, of course, part of the Pack a Day podcast as well. Follow him on Twitter @JacobMorley. Thank you so much. Good catching up.
All right. Thank you, Sparky.